This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Lindor drives one in deep center field, and it's gone! A home run!
Francisco Lindor, who apparently was offered 10 years and $325 million, and he won't take it.
If he turns down $325 over 10 years, there's going to be so much pressure on him throughout the course of this season to produce.
He wants $12 and $385.
Lindor, the first hand, so Mookie Betts got 12 years, $365. He wants something very similar.
If Steve Cohen doesn't get this deal done with Francisco Lindor, it's going to be a bad look for Steve Cohen.
Terrible one.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Let's reset here. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Little CMT at 6:45 this morning. Mike Tenenbaum at 7 o'clock. Matt Miller, who's become our on this show. I like Matt Miller a lot. He's our draft expert. Will join us at 7:30 this morning. Do you remember, I vividly remember it, when Kim Mulkey and Tony Bennett visited us in studio a couple of years back?
Well, I forget, Dave?
They were excellent, excellent. And do you remember, I mean, I don't know if I'm accurate with this, but in my recollection of the story, there was like a little flirting between Rick and Kim Mulkey. Chris, you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that being a thing.
You laugh, but you know it's true. There was a little flirtatious going on.
I liked her a lot. She was great.
Yeah.
She's my kind of coach.
Reminisce about waking up with only socks on at one point, I think.
I think that would be inappropriate with Coach.
Coach
that wasn't really where the guy, that wasn't really, it was just, it was more coach, you know. I respect coach her player. As a coach. She respected me as a coach.
Mm.
Mutual respect thing, Dave.
It was a little awkward.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just that, though, Dave. There was some energy there.
There was a lot of energy.
There was some energy there.
There was pent-up energy as well. I mean, she took to you. And listen, I think you're a terrific guy, but it was – to say it wasn't uncomfortable would be a lie. It was uncomfortable. And Kim Mulkey, who Rick had that uncomfortable moment with a couple of years ago, had another uncomfortable moment last night. Well, a couple for her. Firstly, how that's a no-call – on what was clearly a foul in the final seconds in a one-point game is beyond me. Do we agree with that? That's a foul?
Yeah, they should have put Dejounte Carrington on the line. There's no way you swallowed a whistle with that one. There was too much contact. She got hit by three different defenders, Dave.
It was a foul. I don't know what else you want us to tell you.
No,
foul.
I want you to tell me that you agree that it was a foul. But speaking of foul, Kim Mulkey, Rick's, you know, crush or whatever you want to say, after the game, I can't believe that we went here, but she did, and let's take a listen to the head coach of Baylor basketball.
I think my words will matter, but after the games today and tomorrow, there's four teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that end up having test positive or something and they don't get to play in the Final Four? So you need to just forget the COVID test and let the four teams that are playing in each Final Four go battle it out.
I don't know what to say. I feel like I'd like to put my arm around her and say, you just don't get it, do you? Just dump the COVID testing and let these kids, because it would be a shame. This whole thing is a shame. 500,000 people dying is a shame. I mean, what a weird thing to say, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I expected her to say. I mean, in our time together on the show, I didn't realize that she was going to go there. No, I mean, I don't. This has been the problem the entire time, though, with sports in general. I mean, there's a singular mindset for her. Her mindset is, and you heard it at the end of that clip. Wouldn't it be unfortunate if these kids couldn't play in the Final Four?
And the answer is yes. It was unfortunate for Virginia Commonwealth. It happens. It's unfortunate when guys can't play because of COVID protocols. It happens. This is the world we live in. It would stink if teams can't play in the Final Four, if kids can't play in the Final Four. Welcome to 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, it wouldn't be something that I would bring up.
Verbalize,
no.
Come on.
No, but I mean, listen, it's where her, like, this is exactly, she told you exactly how she feels about it. She actually caught herself. She's going to swear there too. But she, this is,
yeah.
her focus is on her players. And in her mind, it would be a shame if all of a sudden now they've made it this far to the Final Four and one of these teams can't participate because there's a positive COVID test.
I get all of that, Rico, and you're right that like, her focus is on her team and just being able to try to win at the highest level. But as a head coach of a major college program, you have to have some awareness about it. And the fact that, you know, she went out in a press conference and said that, like, I just completely tone deaf. I mean, you're not paying attention to anything that's happening around you in terms of what's going on in the world. Like, there's a lot of people out here struggling right now in dealing with this, and a lot of people have passed away. A lot of people have serious health concerns as a result of being in a pandemic. And so we understand that there's a certain degree of risk that comes along with trying to play sports, but I mean, you at least have to understand that these protocols are in place because, you know, you have to protect the interests of your players and the interests of the public health. To just kind of disregard that in your commentary, that's inexcusable.
But what's wrong with just saying, God, I hope we get the Final Four, and it would be a shame for these kids if we didn't get it played. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's take the COVID testing and throw it out the window. It's such a, I don't know, it feels like such an ignorant thing to say at this point.
But that's how she feels. I mean, you're acting surprised.
I mean, I actually am surprised.
Well, just because it's her. You're surprised because it's her. I mean, just in general, some of the stuff that you heard. I mean, what happened in Florida? Oh, we expect the swamp to be 90,000.
I'm not surprised by that one.
Yeah, but it's exactly right because of who it was. But this isn't the first time that a coach has said something stupid like this.
No, but I think we need to call out when coaches say stuff like this, no?
Yeah, absolutely. It was off color. I don't think she should have said it. But she had a moment where she was being truthful to how she feels about this whole thing. That forget what everyone's talking about as far as, you know, what's going on in the world. I'm concerned about one thing and one thing only. It's college basketball right now in the moment, and these kids have worked too hard to have this ripped away from them because there's a positive COVID test. So let's just take that COVID testing and let's just put it aside. So if someone does have it, we'll never know, and they can at least play the games, and we'll be through the season.
That's how great. Then so be it. As long as these kids get the Final Four in, and that's the most important thing with college basketball right now. That's what she said. It's pretty obvious her take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you can frame COVID as an aside when that's been the thing that's dominated our lives for the last year and a couple of months. I don't understand how you can do that. Like, it makes that makes no sense.
Because they prioritize. I mean, this is what they're prioritizing. Is that the mindset would have to be, would, you know, these are college age kids that even if they do get it, they'll get through it. So, I mean, let's get through this, and if, you know, God forbid someone does have it, we'll find out afterwards, and they'll have, you know, whatever symptoms they have and get through it, and we'll have crowned national champions.
Let me be naive for a moment, okay? Even if she feels like this, why would she say this? Like, what is to be gained by taking the microphone in a public forum and saying something that you know is so bothersome and so distasteful to so many people? What is to gain from this with her?
I have no idea. I mean, you're asking me a question I can't answer. I mean, I don't know. There's not one positive thing I can point to with her saying what she said last night. Not one. Not a single one. Not a single one. Again, you'd be naive to not think that conversations like this are going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And what she says behind closed doors to her staff and her team that we never know about, we never know. So we can't comment on it. But to take the microphone after a loss like that and say, you know what, just throw away the COVID testing as we get down here to the Final Four. It just, I mean, do you have no awareness of what is happening in your surroundings? None? Because that's what she's saying to me. I really don't understand the magnitude of the concept of what is happening in the world right now to make a comment like this.
Yeah, but it was amazing to me, too. I mean, we talked about this before. I mean, before college football made the decision to actually play. Was, you know, you had these teams just bringing all the kids in to train. And we're like, well, why would you bring all these kids in to train with what's going on in the world? And it was like, well, I mean, I guess the only conclusion you could come to is that if they do come down here and you know, they get it, at least they'll have gotten it and be through it and have the antibodies headed into the season so they don't have to deal with it. And then she says something like this. You had LSU was like, oh, I think we're all set. I think our whole team has had it already.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Oh, yeah. Like, almost every guy's had it already. This is I don't know why, like, even if you were thinking it, which is bad enough, why would you even say it? Why would you say it?
I don't understand, because I don't think there's a positive to coming out and saying something like that. Travis Thompson tweets in, you guys didn't watch the game if you thought that was a foul at the end of the game. The entire game, both UConn and Baylor players were being mugged. A few possessions prior, Williams from UConn got clotheslined under the rim and no foul. They let them play, right, no call in the moment. Okay. All right.
Take it, that's a UConn fan.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
You got to make your free throws, too. Make your free throws.
I can't stand when teams don't hit free throws.
It drives me crazy.
It's an epidemic right now.
But I wouldn't have felt bad. Like, listen, I get it. I mean, don't tell me I didn't watch the game. I watched the game. Paige Beckers is one of my favorite players to watch in basketball, period.
She's a freshman, right?
Yeah, she's ridiculous. I was actually watching something. Diana Taurasi, who's like the best, almost one of the best to ever do it,
yep,
was actually saying, like, she's, when I was a freshman compared to what she looks like as a freshman, is night and day. Like, she's that good. She's on that level. But I get what you're saying. Like, in the context of the game, it was a rough game. It was a physical game, and the refs were calling the game a certain way. But what I got no dog in the fight. I like UConn, obviously, because of Paige, but, like, you missed your free throws. Would I have been heartbroken if they called the foul there when she gets mugged, like, hit in the face? I mean, her arm gets hit, she gets hit in the face, and UConn ends up losing? No, I wouldn't have felt bad about it. You shouldn't have been up one at that point.
Yeah, it was a foul. That's a foul. I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Got into it a little bit yesterday. Steve Nash addressed it last night after the game. Rick, are you turned off by this, for lack of a better term, super team that Brooklyn has put together?
No.
You're not?
No, the only thing that turns me off is, God forbid, because it's now considered a super team, that James Harden doesn't win the MVP and we don't see you naked.
He's not gonna win the MVP. But let's put that to the side for a moment. Chris, are you turned off at all by it?
No, it doesn't turn me off at all, Dave. It doesn't. I mean, they're positioning themselves to try to compete for a championship. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets have gone about this long process in order to turn themselves into a competent basketball franchise. They got up from under the bad trade that was Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They got draft picks back. They developed players. And then they ended up selling all that off to be able to get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving in free agency, and then trade for James Harden. So adding a couple of pieces in the buyout market, I'm not turned off by it. It's just them being able to, you know, add that one or two extra role players in order to position themselves to be the team that comes out of the East and goes to the finals.
Well, Steve Nash yesterday after the game, a little defensive, says he's not listening to this super team noise. It's not like his team or organization has done anything illegal.
I don't hear it. I live in my Nets bubble, so I don't know what anyone said about us, to be honest with you. I have no clue. You know, I mean, we I don't know what to tell you. We traded for James Harden. We gave up some really good young players and draft picks, tons of them. We got two guys in the buyout market that are big names and had great careers and are still able to contribute. You know, it's not like we did anything illegal. So I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Well, I don't think they've done anything wrong, but I think that there are a lot of people that are turned off by what Brooklyn is right now. So, and for him to sit here and tell us that he has no idea what anybody's talking about with this, I just think is not true. He knows. He knows what's going on.
I don't think you can hate the Brooklyn Nets for doing this,
no,
Dave.
I mean, it's
the NBA that makes it possible with this buyout market where you allow to go ahead and sign guys that get bought out by other teams. Like, I mean, if fans don't like the Nets adding Blake Griffin or adding LaMarcus Aldridge in the middle of the season and not having to do it via trade, then they've got an issue with the NBA and how they structure this whole thing, not with the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are just doing what they can do within the rules to improve their team as much as they possibly can, which is Steve Nash and Sean Marks' job. So I don't understand why you would necessarily have a beef with the Nets. I mean, if you don't like what's going on over there, your issue is with the NBA.
Little shade there, too, to Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, by the way.
When he said use it in the past tense?
Yeah, we picked up a couple of big names that I think could contribute.
Yeah. That were great players, right?
No, but yeah, I mean,
they were great players.
Yeah, they were great players. Here's the thing, though. You got to give them credit, too. I mean, again, to put themselves in a spot with how they built this thing where, you know, they had the cap flexibility to go out and sign KD and Kyrie. They had the assets to trade for James Harden. And they're already a super team with those three. I mean, without Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, they're a super team already with those three. And then to have the ability, you know, to have, you know, the roster manipulation that you do have roster spots available when Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge get bought out. What do you mean? If anything, blame LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin for deciding to go sign with the Nets.
I think that the average NBA fan looks at their team and then looks at this team, and I don't know. It feels like I don't think it's a crazy idea to think that there's kind of something broken in the NBA where you're a one-time great player, you're dissatisfied with the team you're playing on right now, they move on from you, buy you out, it's all done, and now you just wind up on the team that's favorite or second favorite to win the championship. I think there is something, and I get it, I think there's something unlikable with that and the appearance in the NBA.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think Chris would disagree with you either. I mean, there's something broken. I mean, the fact that, you know, Al Horford is not going to play for the rest of the season. Like, he's just done. Like, we don't want to risk you getting hurt so we can trade you in the offseason, so we're just not going to have you play. Or Andre Drummond, we're just not going to have you play. Yeah, there's something broken with that. I mean, I would probably say do I hate what Brooklyn's doing? No, because, I mean, they're well within their right. Like, Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge are well within their right to go for, you know, to sign with a team they feel like gives them the best chance to win a championship. So that's fine by me. Do I love how, you know, players are allowed to force their way out of situations and then get exactly what they want? I don't necessarily love that. Like, I don't love how James Harden handled the situation and the fact that he got to go where he wanted.
I mean, could it, you know what? Why would the next guy not do the exact same thing?
Well, but you've already
seen it.
Because
the next guy is not James Harden.
Okay, but if you are a terrific player.
Yeah, Dave, but again, you're talking about a select few. If you're not an all-NBA type of guy, it's not like you're going to be able to shoot your way out of town regardless of the team that you're dealing with.
Yeah, but no one cares about those players, though, Chris. We only care about the stars. Like Anthony Davis did it. He got exactly what he wanted.
No, I'm not saying that. That's not the case, Rico. I get that. But all I'm saying is this. Like, there aren't 100 guys in the NBA that can do this. You're talking about 15, 20 guys that have the leverage
right.
over
but
an organization
if you're one of those,
to be able to do that.
But I guess the point is, aren't you in a position where you would absolutely do that? Like, isn't that now the path? I'm unhappy where I am. My organization has no chance of winning. I can do whatever I want. If I force a trade and I go to where I want to go, I'm going to wind up the victor.
I have no issue with players doing that, Dave, and I'm going to tell you why. The way that we judge basketball players these days and their legacy is based on them having the opportunity to compete for championship. And I'm sorry that there are a lot of bad franchises out there that don't do the right things in terms of surrounding those stars with the right supporting cast. So I completely get guys wanting to get the hell out of a current situation in order to get to a better situation. What's happening in Houston right now, like, I don't know how you could look at that team and not understand why James Harden wanted out. I don't know how you could see that situation and say, yeah, that was the place that James Harden should have stayed. He should have locked in and spent the rest of his career here. It made no sense.
I think it's hard to be a fan now.
Yeah, but James Harden is responsible. James Harden is part of the reason why that team is a mess right now. James Harden was partly responsible for hiring the coach that they hired. He didn't want Jeff Van Gundy as the coach, so they didn't hire Jeff Van Gundy.
So James, he wanted Steve Silas? That's who he wanted?
He did not want Jeff Van Gundy as the coach, and they didn't hire Jeff Van Gundy as the coach.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't want Steve Silas either.
Well, I'm pretty sure if James Harden was on the Houston Rockets, they wouldn't be nearly as bad as they are right now.
I guarantee that.
Yeah, but they weren't going to be title contenders. And what has been the knock on James Harden? Yeah, he's great in the regular season, but you get in the playoffs, he doesn't play well, he doesn't compete for championships. That's been the story. This year is an opportunity for him to change.
Yeah, but Chris, Houston gave him every opportunity to win a championship. It's not their fault he came up at Chris Paul tore his hamstring and James Harden came up small in big moments.
Yeah, but then nobody's going to care about that, Rick. Nobody's going to look back on James Harden's career and say, oh, you know what? Well, it's his fault that things didn't work out in Houston. We're going to blame him. It's because Chris Paul had a hamstring injury. Nobody cares about all of the different things that happened that didn't allow him to get to that level, to get to the NBA Finals and try to win a chip. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but
nobody
you're
does.
Talking, but you're sitting here making the argument for the player, because you're speaking as a player. Dave's speaking as how it would turn off a fan. You can't see how that would turn off the fan base?
I'm not saying I can't see how it would turn off the fan base. What I am saying is, based on how we judge NBA players and their legacies, I can understand why players want to get to teams that have shown that they can be competent and that can contend at a championship level consistently. I can understand that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but how is Houston though?
But how is Houston not showing you that they can compete at a high level and compete for championships? They were the only team trying to compete with Golden State that entire time.
Yeah, how many NBA Finals has James Harden been to? How many conference finals has James Harden been to?
Yeah, but isn't that his fault?
How many conference? What did you say, Dave?
Isn't that his fault?
It's the Houston Rockets' fault.
I don't know if it's fair to blame all of that on James Harden, guys.
I don't think
we're blaming it all on James Harden, but you said they're blaming it completely on the organization. That it was the organization's fault. They gave every opportunity to win.
All I'm saying is this. They weren't able to get to enough conference finals, and they didn't get to an NBA finals to have that stigma taken off of James Harden's career. And for a player that has been as good as he is, for a guy that led the league in scoring, what was it, 3 or 4 straight years, to not have the opportunity to break through like that, like a part of that is on the player. I would completely agree with you, but also a part of that is on the organization. And so I can understand James Harden at the end of it saying, you know what? I don't want to stick around here for a rebuild for the aftermath of that. I don't think him pushing the organization to make those decisions in real time in the middle of this past decade, I don't think that means that he has to lock into the Houston Rockets for the rest of his career. I don't.
All right, let's go to Joe in Linden. Let's find out what some of the callers have to say. 800-919-3776. Go ahead, Joe. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. So, this is what I wanted to say, that, you know, I understand Brooklyn making this team. It's in their right to make this team. But you take this team out of the NBA, the amount of great competitive basketball that we're being robbed from as fans, because we look at this team saying they're walking to the finals. But they are literally going to walk to the NBA finals this year with this team.
Yeah, but Joe, how do you know they're going to walk to the finals, Joe?
What team do you think that could actually stand a chance?
Tell me, is Kevin Durant coming back fully healthy or not?
I mean, with or without Kevin Durant, they're blowing teams out of the water. I still don't see a team that's going to stand competitive to the Nets this year.
Yeah, I would disagree that there won't be a team that will be competitive against the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs.
But they're going to the finals. You agree that they're going to the finals?
Yeah, right now I would pick them to go to the finals, but I don't think, if Kevin Durant doesn't come back at full strength, I don't know if they're just going to walk right through Milwaukee or through Philadelphia.
I agree with that. But here's the thing. If Durant does come back and is healthy, do they see a game 7 in the Eastern Conference?
No.
No, probably not. Kevin in Somerset, you're next up on 98.7, Kev.
Yeah, hey, Canty touched on something. James Harden left that situation because of a bad situation. What's happening in the NCAA is the same thing. These kids are leaving these schools because they have a lot of bad coaches. A lot of these coaches are being hired because they know people, nepotism, or whatever reason. I think what's going to happen, they're going to have to start hiring better coaches, better general managers, better presidents, the whole nine. It's going to have to be upended so that, like I said, they have better competition. And
you think he wanted to go to Brooklyn because of Steve Nash and the coaching that they have there?
No, he wanted to go to get a chip, no doubt about it. But like I said, you know, the situation he was in was a bad situation. And like I said, they got a lot of bad coaches out here, a lot of bad people in charge. And those guys, you're going to have to find good people and better people to make better teams, to make
Kevin,
better
competition. Kevin, he created half of it. The situation was one he created, Kevin. He wanted Chris Paul. Well, Chris Paul came. They didn't get over the hump. So then all of a sudden, he didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore, so they got rid of Chris Paul. Then he wanted Russell Westbrook. That relationship didn't work, so they got rid of Russell Westbrook. He wanted to show up late for meetings, so he showed up late for meetings. He wanted the plane to leave on certain days. It left on certain days. There were certain days he wanted to practice.
There were
certain days he didn't want to practice.
They should have treated him with more discipline. You can't just let these guys run all over the place. Treat them with better discipline. Then you get better guys. You get better teammates. You get better teams.
Yeah, but this is what we're talking about, Kevin. This is why Dave says that fans get turned off by some of these things that happen in the NBA.
I mean, Howie, the one thing you used to have when you were a fan of a team is that even if your team stunk, you had your guy. And you don't even have that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, I get why he would want to go to Brooklyn because, mm-hmm. I mean, to get a chance to play with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, that mm-hmm. would be, like, I would love to play with my two buddies, too. That would be great on a team that's probably going to win a championship. But still, I mean, as a fan, I can understand that I would be pissed off at James Harden with how he got himself out of Houston and left me with this team that's not even competitive in the NBA anymore.
Okay, so he was supposed to stay in Houston?
He created the situation in Houston. They did everything he asked for.
But I'm asking, I'm asking a question. Was he supposed to stay in Houston knowing what that team is right now?
The team, what do you mean what the team is right now? You think the team would look the same with Kevin, with James Harden as on the team?
No, I'm just saying with the same guys they got down there now with James Harden. That's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to stay in that situation, be a part of a team that he knows can't contend at a championship level. That's what he was supposed to do.
He never even gave it an opportunity to see what it looked like. Didn't even give it a chance. He went into last season with the mindset that he was going to get himself traded. Showed up fat, turned off all his teammates. They turned against him. I see you rubbing your head. I don't know. You're making an argument for somebody that handled it the complete wrong way, how you handle it.
There's no way that James Harden, with that Houston Rockets team that they started the season with, was going to compete with the Clippers, was going to compete with the Lakers. No shot. It's disingenuous to suggest that was possible.
Did I sit here and say they were going to compete for a championship?
You just said that. You literally just said that.
Dave, did I say they were going to compete for a championship?
You said he didn't give it a chance. What I'm saying is he doesn't have to give it a chance. He knows what that is. He knows what he's up against in the West. He doesn't have to give that a chance. He knows they're not good enough to do it. I can understand why James Harden wants to get out of that situation.
To say you don't understand why the fan base would be upset.
I get it.
To sit here and pretend like you don't understand why the Houston Rockets fan base would be upset with James Harden is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I didn't say that they wouldn't be upset with him. What I said is I understand why James Harden wanted to get the hell out of Houston. Because they couldn't compete for a championship, and that's been everybody's knock on James Harden's game. Oh, it's a boring style of basketball, and you can't win like that once you get to the playoffs. It's only built for the regular season. Well, here's James Harden's opportunity to change that and to play with the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Guys, fighting leading to a lot of phone calls. People want to chime in. Let's go. Josh in Brooklyn. Josh, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Good morning.
Good. How are you?
So I just want to, like I said, I'm from Brooklyn. I love basketball, and I can't stand what the Nets are doing, man. They're signing names, and it's just like, even with the James Harden situation, it's okay. Your legacy already has been that we know that you couldn't do it in Houston. We've seen you fail and fail and fail again against the Golden State Warriors. So now you go to a stacked team, and we're supposed to just say now, oh, if he wins the championship, yeah, so he's a great player. I don't believe that anybody is going to say, like, yeah, okay, he's a great champion just because he went to a stacked team. And, of course, Chris is going to be, he's going to defend the situation. His favorite player is the one that started it all, huh?
My favorite player is
what
the
does
one
that
who
mean?
Started it all?
LeBron.
LeBron's not my
LeBron
favorite player.
LeBron started it.
LeBron, yeah, he started, but he's not my favorite player. But, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you're saying that it won't work in terms of changing the conversation around Harden's career, but it changed the conversation around Kevin Durant's career. And now, yeah, he ultimately left Golden State to start his own thing and to prove he could do it on his own without something that was already built. But, I mean, being able to get that championship formula and then go out someplace else and replicate it, that's important for players. But ultimately, these guys understand – having a ring is going to make a difference when you're having a conversation about all-time greats, or at least when you're having a conversation about the greatest players during this era of basketball.
There are a lot of people that were turned off by Kevin Durant, though. There were a lot of people.
Well,
a ton
of people, Dave. A ton of people were turned off on it. A ton of people. I remember Stephen A. Smith calling it a weak move. But I can also understand a player wanting to put himself in the best situation to compete at the highest level. I'll always side with the player when it comes to that. I'm not saying I can't understand why certain fan bases would be turned off, especially when you have star players like KD and like James Harden that leave your squad. But ultimately, I understand that these guys are leaving because they know they're going to be judged on whether or not they compete for championships.
Yeah, I didn't love his argument, though. James Harden lost to a super team. That Golden State team was a super team.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
So I have no problem with him, creating his...
2014, 2015, we wouldn't say they were a super team then, though, would we?
Before they got KD?
No.
Yeah, before they got KD, they weren't a super team. That was homegrown for the most part, and they still demolished them. I want to say they beat the Rockets 1-4 in the Western Conference Finals that year.
You can be the greatest team ever. If you're organically put together, I don't think anybody's going to consider anything wrong. I think once you start signing great players via free agency, I think that's what turns a lot of people off. Let's go to Jake in Queens. Jake, you're next up on 98.7. Jake in Queens. Good morning, Jake.
Hi, good morning, guys. I think both of you are right. Rico, you're right. Harden did contribute to the problem, but I see Chris's point. Guys are not playing at this point to end up like Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley. They don't want to be on that list. And the second thing, as far as the fan perspective of the game, it's almost like they're like the Amazon of the NBA. You know, the rich getting richer and everybody else just kind of going to the party but can't dance. It's like, are we watching the finals and the season to see when the Nets will lose or if the Nets will lose? I think it's more of a question just if. We already think, at least from the perspective of a fan, the Nets are going to win. They're the best team. They have the best players. And to beat them in a seven-game series, I don't know who can do it. So I don't think we're watching.
The Lakers can do it.
The Lakers. I think the Lakers right now, if you ask most people, Jake, the Lakers would be the only answer.
Yeah, but let's not pretend like the Nets are the only team doing this. The Lakers are doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, they just signed Andre Drummond. I agree.
And there were a bunch of names on that Lakers team last year, like Dwight Howard won a championship with the Lakers. Like, when you're this close to winning a championship and you have roster spots open, you're going to get guys that want to come play for your team. Big name guys that want to come, they want to jump aboard and try to win a championship. Like, I can completely understand. If I'm Blake Griffin and I'm LaMarcus Aldridge, and I'm leaving money. If I'm Blake Griffin, leaving money on the table to get out of my situation, I'm going to go to the team that gives me the best chance to win a championship.
Yeah, I understand it. Like I don't blame the team and I don't blame the player, but I think there's something that turns fans off by just, okay, this guy's a terrific player or was a terrific player or can be a huge contributor. Now he's going to just add on to this great team. I understand why it's a turnoff for fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of a team that isn't in a spot to be attractive to players like that and is not competing at that level, I'm sure you wouldn't like it.
I mean, I watched Blake Griffin on my team. He hasn't dunked in 17 years. The first play with the Nets, all of a sudden he's dunking. That would bother me.
But that was on his mind. I mean, he wanted to show people that he could still play. I mean, you've heard him talk. I mean, yesterday he said, you know, it's funny now all of a sudden we're a super team. All I heard for the last how many years is I stink. Now all of a sudden I'm a really good player.
That's right. Let's go to Devon in Queens. Devon, you're next up on 98.7.
Yes, how you doing, guys? I heard the whole conversation and the other callers. I feel like the Nets are a great team, but as far as, you know, a fan, they pretty much bought a team. Every NBA player that's a top-rated player came over for a championship. There's nothing wrong with getting a championship. I got it.
Here's what I don't understand, though. Devon, you hung up on him.
That's okay. Well, okay, hang up on him, but
no, but that's fine. I don't care what team you root for. Like, all we ask for as Knicks fans is get yourself, like, what was the biggest concern for you as a Knicks fan when Leon Rose, Worldwide West, and Thibs took over the team? What was priority number
one? How you were going to be perceived by the rest of the NBA?
Exactly right. So if you could manage to do what the Nets did, which is, you know, build this really good young foundation that superstar players would be attracted to, that's what you wanted to do. So you're sitting here and telling me whatever team you root for, you would be complaining that if you built your team up to a point where you could trade draft picks and young assets for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you'd be upset about it?
No.
And now all of a sudden, all these really good players want to play on your team, you'd be, oh, you know what? Listen, guys, James, I'd love for you to be on my team, but I don't think it's good for the NBA. Blake, you know what? Go sign
with
the Lakers.
No one would take that tact. Nobody.
That's ridiculous.
But Bushwick 1 tweets to me, so teams shouldn't sign great players because it's not organic. I didn't say they shouldn't sign them. But I will tell you this, I have more respect, and I don't know how you guys will feel like this, I have more respect and believe it's a truer championship the way Golden State won it by putting together Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green before Kevin Durant than I do after Kevin Durant, and then I will if Brooklyn wins a title right now.
Yeah, but how many teams are doing that though, Dave? Like how many NBA champions in the past 20 years have done it that way? Not a whole lot of them.
But look, I mean, Dave, look what they had to do. Look what Golden State had to do. I mean, you got Draymond Green in the parking lot recruiting Kevin Durant.
I get it.
Because they realized what a problem LeBron James was going to be for them.
I get it. But I think there's something truer about winning a title the way they won their first couple.
That's where the NBA is at right now, though. It's an arms race.
It is. You're right.
That's where we're at.
You're right. It's a great way to say it. It's an arms race. It's I'm rich and I just want to get richer. And how can I do that? Let's go to one more, and then we'll go to a little CMT. Let's go to Jamel in Rick's favorite place, Nutley. Good morning, Jamil.
Love Nutley.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. What I don't understand is why are people taking it so personal when a player forces his way out of a bad situation, but when an owner wants to get rid of a player that's been there or that's been committed to the team for years, for seasons, you know, nobody takes that, you know, we shouldn't take that as personal, right? I mean, James Harden saw that the situation that he was about to face this coming season was not a situation that he wanted to stick around for, and then he forced his way out the same way owner would have cut him. So what I'm saying is that if, you know, we judge by greatness by rings, nobody remembers all of the stories wrapped around Jordan's rings, around Kareem's rings. We just remember that they have rings, right? When Shaq is on the pregame show with Barkley, what does he always do? He throws up those rings. So, you know, you have to go get them to solidify your legacy. And if you don't go get them, then you will be by the wayside like Charles. You know, or you will be thought as the guys who didn't win one. You know, I'll hang up and let you guys go ahead.
No, here's the thing, though. And again, I mean, what Chris was saying is I wasn't completely disagreeing with what Chris was saying, because I understand exactly where he's coming from. Like, James Harden saw an opportunity to get out of a situation that wasn't going to give him the best chance to compete for a title, and he didn't want to waste the year because he wanted to go play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. My argument was, I can understand, even though I can feel because I was a player, I can understand why the fan base would be completely turned off by James Harden.
I understand that. As a fan, and I think I can speak for the fans, I'd be livid about that. I would, when he came back to my city, and if I went to the game, I wouldn't give a standing ovation. I would boo him into the high heavens. I would hate that player if he came back and done that to my team.
Look what the Islanders fans did to John Tavares.
And I get it. No, I think there's a line that you don't
cross.
And
that was a guy that left in free agency. They were pissed because he didn't tell them at the deadline.
Look what they did to LeBron in Cleveland when he went back there. And what the owner said about him.
But here's the thing, though. Those situations are completely different. Those guys, yeah, it sucks that they left your team, but they left in free agency. Like, LeBron James always gives himself the flexibility to pick up and leave when he decides he wants to leave. That's not apples to apples.
Like,
James Harden forced his way out.
I don't think it's as bad what LeBron did, but it still upsets the fan, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Or maybe they do, is that you're a fan, and of a team, and you're loyal to your team.
Well, exactly right, because you're not going anywhere. But the people that call in and defend what James Harden did would have a completely different feeling if that was his or her team that they root for.
They would be heartbroken, and they'd never, ever forgive him. All right, we say goodbye to Chris. He's going to join KJZ in just a couple moments, so it's me and you, Rick. And to start out with just the two of us, let's do a little CMT.
Two cuddles.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes. On a Tuesday.
You know what? Time out, RJ, for one quick second, just because I make this point, otherwise I'll forget it.
You have two timeouts remaining.
All right, this is my first time out.
1-20.
You know how, here's the best way to describe it to a Knicks fan. I would say if how a Knicks fan would feel is exactly how you feel towards Phil Jackson and what he did with the New York Knicks.
Well, there you go. Well, how do you feel about that? He's public enemy number one when it comes to the Knicks. How angry were we yesterday talking about what he said last week?
Blaming the fans. Stop it,
Phil. All right,
Phil.
We're back on the court. RJ, the floor is yours.
I got to tell you, that's questionable use of a timeout here, right in the opening stages.
I like to set the tone early.
You should have used a 20 there. That was a mistake. Taking the full there was a mistake.
He didn't like what he heard immediately. Got to correct it.
All right, here he is, Jimmy the Greek, RJ Santilli.
All right, so right on the heels of what you guys were talking about, the GM of the Houston Rockets these days is Raphael Stone. He said yesterday that I would for sure 100% do that deal again when talking about James Harden. Now, we looked at it just now from the Brooklyn angle and how they've constructed their team and such, but cuddle, marry, or trash the Rockets doing the same thing all over again with James Harden.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to trash it because they did get a lot of value in return for him, but I'm not going to marry it either, which puts me right in that middle spot. I will cuddle making that move again.
You're so soft. I'm going to marry it. I think they handled it perfectly. I think they handled it perfectly. Think of what they did, though, in that situation. Is if James Harden comes to you and says, I want to be traded, and you're like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's trade you. People are going to be mad at you for trading James Harden. Now they said, oh, we're
willing to... So you make him be the bad guy.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And you still get whatever you would have got anyway for trading him. Well played.
You love it, huh? All right.
Love it.
All right. Francisco Lindor, spoken about earlier on the show also, offered $325 million over a decade, turned it down. Reports are he wants $385 over a dozen years. Oof. There is a deadline of prior to the season imposed for an extension here. And in case you're not realizing, baseball starts on Thursday. So cuddle, marry, or trash a Lindor extension before the first pitch of the season.
Wow. I mean, this is the thing. If you marry this one now, there's going to be instant accountability, right? Because we're going to know on Thursday if, in fact, you were the winner or the loser of that one.
Do it. Do it.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to marry this one. So you can go after me on Thursday or Friday, I guess, because we'll be off the air by the time the season starts. I think this deal is done by first pitch for the Mets on Thursday evening.
It's such a fugazi deadline, too. Lindor saying that he won't do any talks during the season, as if he's the one that's negotiating, like at the table negotiating with Sandy Alderson. Like, you can't just tell your agent, this is the number I want, and if any time during the season they give you the number, we'll sign it.
Right. Look, I don't understand how that's an issue at all. I don't want the distraction. What distraction? You don't even
have
to know.
Pressure. Well, it's just putting pressure. It's putting a fugazi deadline on something, so it forces the hand of the
that's
owner.
That's right. But if you're on a road trip in L.A. playing the Dodgers, and they call your agent and say, all right, you know, we'll go 11 for 360. Let's get it done right now. Well, we can't because we had the opening day deadline. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, Dave. I got to support you. I'm a good teammate. I'm going to prove to you I'm a good teammate. I'm going to marry it with you.
This is the first time you've done that. Thank you. You want to use the timeout here?
No, I'm good. I like where this is headed. I'm going to keep it going. Momentum. Okay. Ride the momentum.
All right, you still have two timeouts remaining. So you guys are not the only ones with strong feelings on how the Nets are built. Yesterday on the K Show, which starts at 2 o'clock now, there was a lot of debate about how the Nets constructed this team and in comparison to how other teams have constructed their so-called super teams.
Championship teams that acquired players. Yeah, you acquire players.
Well, okay, so what's the difference?
Well,
the
if Nets you can't see the difference, then let's move on to another subject.
Okay,
the
let's
PNN's
move on.
Because I'm good. We'll move on.
Keith Hernandez was traded for. Gary Carter was traded for.
I just
all
said I was done,
player.
Michael.
I'm not
said,
done. You're telling me what I'm done.
You're not understanding my point.
No, I understand your point. I don't agree with it.
No, you don't
I mean, all of a sudden, all these fans want to be stinged with tantric sex. They want it to take forever. I want to happen right now.
Yes. That's my line. He used my line. Yes.
That was your line?
Yes.
You're like the lead writer on the K Show.
I thought that might be you.
That was you right there.
You can tell. I spent a lot of time around those guys, and I know how they talk, and I know when certain things leave certain people's mouths. But anyways, bringing it all full circle, cuddle, marry, or trash you personally, neither of your Nets fans, on how the Nets internally have gone about building their team within the framework of what's allowed by the NBA.
I'll marry it. I mean, I don't like it as a fan. I don't like guys forcing their way out of certain situations and showing up overweight. But as far as what Brooklyn has done, look, in my mind, they're the best team in the NBA right now. And a year ago, they were not the best team in the NBA. So what's not to love? I would marry that. If the Knicks did it, I would love it. So what's not to marry? What's not
to
love?
Yeah, I don't understand what Don's point was. I'm going to marry it all day, every day.
Of course, what a surprise you took Michael's side of this thing.
Well, no, but how could you know? Like they did exactly what you're trying to do. They're doing exactly what you're hoping the Knicks can do. They did it.
That's right.
Perfection.
That's right. But I will still say this. I think there's something more impressive and better and a better feeling if you organically build a team.
Yeah, but I mean, how often does that happen?
Well, I think it makes it better, though, is all I'm saying.
All right, one last one. Mike Woodson, you may have heard, he's leaving the Knicks, going to be the new head coach at Indiana, joining the college ranks. So here's Woodson yesterday thanking his now former employer.
I want to thank my Knick family for allowing me to get out of my contract and come home. You know, Jim Dolan gets a bad rap in New York, but he was a great owner for me. He allowed me to head coach, and he allowed me to come back and be an assistant. I have him to thank, Leon, Wes, Scott Perry, and Tom Thibodeau. What a great coach.
So there's a lot to unpack there, but what I really want to ask you guys is cuddle, marry, or trash the way we've all been saying Thibodeau/Thibodeau, because every time I think we put this to bed, it gets reopened. That's a guy that worked with him in the same room every single day. So, cuddle well, or trash, Mike Woodson's way of saying, I'll just say the New York Knicks head coach's name.
See, I don't think he calls him by his full name. I would bet that, because we heard this from Mike Breen. It's pronounced Thibodeau, but he goes by Tibbs. So I'm sure that Woody probably calls him Tibbs. They don't, he's not going to call him his full name.
Yeah, but when he said the full name, he said Thibodeau, and we're told that it's Thibodeau. So I'll trash it. I think that Mike Woodson, and what a voice he has, by the way, I think he's wrong, and I think he should apologize. I think he should hold another press conference today to apologize for calling him Thibodeau.
What are the chances that you could tell that you could have coaches, two coaches that sound almost identical with Fizdale and Woodson, voice-wise?
Their voices are sensational, aren't they?
Fantastic voices.
Oh, really amazing. All right, there you have it. That's a little CMT on a Tuesday. Guests on DCRPRV, the Goodyear Hotline. I don't know what that was. Hoops update brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Join Tipico Sportsbook in New Jersey and receive an instant deposit.
It was a betting
match
update
up
for RJ.
$750. Let's make this interesting. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we're down to six teams left now in the NCAA tournament. Last night, Baylor over Arkansas, 81-72. Houston had a huge lead, and it was tied late. They still went on to win at 67-61, but Oregon State hit a late shot, messing up the spread, and probably a lot for RJ, and Houston did not cover final 67-61. Tonight, keep an eye on this one now. USC-Gonzaga. USC's playing great basketball. That's at 7:15, and then at 9:57. I mean, two blue bloods in college basketball, UCLA and Michigan.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.